May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my Lord and my God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We desire God's grace as our collect informs us today. We run to obtain the promises of heaven, part of the heavenly treasures, should we be given the grace and measure through Jesus Christ. In today's gospel, perhaps the answer to the question of which man did the will of Jesus is much easier than last week's conundrum of the vineyard workers. One son proclaims that he will not go and do the work, and later changes his mind. And the second affirms that he will go, and then he doesn't follow through. Which one does the will of the Father? We know this one. It's easy. It's the first. It involves a change of mind, a change of heart, and a heart that obeys in obedience. And this is what inner authority and conscience does that wins the day. Well, Jesus is laying out this parable before his worshipers. His mode of teaching has now brought him inside the temple. He's been continually teaching along the way to followers of his, but now he's entered, this is very significant, inside the temple, and he is questioned. Whose authority do you speak? The chief priests and the elders. They're taken aback by his teachings, his public display and confidence in doing so. As in the play, Jesus Christ Superstar, that I attended last night, the question is, what's the buzz? What's this all about? Well, Jesus will not tell them unless they can answer his question of authority regarding the baptism of John. If that authority was from heaven or from human origin. Jesus is very clear, while the church leaders in authority are baffled, and they can't begin to answer this question. They don't understand the authority upon which Jesus is directed. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, those Jesus speaks of, absolutely do understand that authority, the authority that comes from God, and it gets their attention, and it comes through the teachings of Jesus, and it challenges the direction, it changes the direction of their lives quite profoundly and quite quickly. This is the reason, Jesus explains, that they will enter heaven before the pious authority does. This parable today brings me to delve a little bit further into the authority of Jesus. Jesus is a supreme example of one who does not teach and preach via externally granted authority whatsoever, but possesses this enormous measure of interior, intrinsic authority granted by God his Father. And that is his absolute obedience. Contemporary examples of leaders whose authority is very much the same and mainly intrinsic are those of Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, and Desmond Tutu. If you think about it, just think about what they changed in the world by their very being and obedience to that intrinsic authority. This kind of an authority, though, when Jesus was speaking inside of the temple, was absolutely an affront to the leaders of that time that Jesus lived. The leadership of the faith which he ran smack into was an extrinsic religious authority. This is the institutionalized authority which is necessary to assure a functionality and integrity which takes care of the commitment, consent, and trust within church membership. The challenge for us then as modern day Christians is the balancing of this intrinsic and extrinsic authority. By that, I mean church authority being appropriately balanced between an authentic spiritual grounding from the words of Christ and living it out within the councils of the church. This has presented continual challenges throughout history, which continues to this very present day. What it requires from us is a continual discernment, then. Our community needs continual feeding of the scriptures, an appreciation within side of our tradition that seeks not a uniformity, but the use of reason, personal and collective, both of those, to seek answers to dilemmas and living out our mission in a well-appropriated stewardship. If external and internal authority are not in balance, it can result in a type of coercion or indifference if these external forces dominate. And we can see this played out in our world today. Or divisive communities might break apart due to a major point of contention, such as the schisms that we have encountered in the church that happen in our current day. Or the dominance, on the other hand, of a charismatic leader when intrinsic authority predominates. The interior of that one person predominates to such a degree that it just blows everything apart. And we can see this happening in some of the mega churches where the leader, it's himself mostly, can be overcome with power and influence of their own. And it tips that balance quite profoundly. All of this is to say that a necessary balance, as I said, between the two is necessary for a measure of health within the church. Well, there aren't any laws that Jesus gave equivalent to the laws of Moses. His words were transmitted through an oral tradition that were later written down. He spoke very little, for example, of the role of women in the church. He spoke very little of sexual relations or church government per se. And much of what we gather from him are like today's parables. They come through these stories which challenge the leadership of his time. And they also challenge us. From the very beginning of the church, the heart of Christian faith has been a personal and communal relationship with the risen Christ, rather than submission to the set of laws and doctrines. And this is still true, but it's largely forgotten because we may find it easier to live by these rules and not respond to the challenge of a committed spiritual practice that makes meaningful relationship with our Lord possible. And that's a very important component of our faith walk. The absence, then, of these specific instructions by Jesus on a whole range of issues required a need for consensus from the very beginning. And this required leaders in the church back many, many centuries ago to consider carefully and prayerfully what course to take, what decisions to make, what doctrines to create, which books to include in the canons of our scripture. Creeds and canons and liturgies were a blueprint for the early Christians. And before Jesus was crucified, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, to help in their future. When the Spirit of truth comes, we are assured of this guidance. This is the intrinsic understanding, then, the very mind of Christ, which comes through prayer, which comes through contemplation, which comes through discernment, as our Lord guides and assists us. We are assured that the holy and indwelling Spirit of God lives in our beings. My friends, resurrection is ongoing and very active in our lives. Summing up these reflections on authority in the church, then, it's important to remember that in all matters, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, that all authority in the church is delegated authority which shapes its life and its ministry. Both the internal and external authority, then, need to be in a necessary balance for a healthy functioning of the church. And all members of the church, and especially those in leadership, need to be spiritually grounded so that we can be sure that the work of God in Christ is ongoing in our midst. Our faith in Jesus Christ assists us in his grace. Discernment requires prayer to discern the truth. respect in relationships, and conciliatory attitudes despite predictable disagreements. Spiritual grounding requires discipline and encouragement. Well, as I thought about our readings today, I thought, my gosh, the epistle of the Philippians is the perfect answer to this very large challenge. To me, it really describes the mind of Christ, the attitude, the heart, and direction that is necessary. Encouragement, consolation, a sharing in the Spirit, joy. It's a love letter of instruction. The directions, then, the map to our very human endeavor and intention. Service to others in love and humility is the example that our Lord puts before us. And let this imprint guide us in our own stewardship. I now close with a prayer for our community. Oh, great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and all beings. Help us to become a community that vulnerably shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world and direct us accordingly, knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking. We offer these prayers in all the holy names of God. Amen.